Hello, it's me, Ricardo, from Switzerland. This is the Jazzman Podcast.
Welcome to the third version of the Compilation Edition. I'm your host, Jason Davis. This version was edited and posted on 25th of April 2020. Yesterday it was my great privilege to talk with my first guest on the podcast, Andrew Latham from Illinois. Andrew was telling me about his comic book photo novel titled Spaceborne and Friends, The Return. The story will be told through a series of Lego scenes created by Andrew and other volunteers. The book will include building instructions for Andrew's Bluebird and Vexwing fighter models, as well as his own spray-painted backdrop art. Following on from the Lego publishing books Jim Spaceborne, The Unknown Galaxy, and Jim Spaceborne 2, The Kidnappers from Swamp Planet, which were illustrated by Frank Madsen, Spaceborne, his robot pal Kiko, Ace Lee, and a small crew take off from the large Zonian spaceship, the Spearhead, in a cosmic shuttle to establish a base on the alpha moon of Robus and Commercia in the unknown galaxy, and set up a communication and research center to find a way home. Andrew worked out a lot of the storyline in his head whilst driving his truck, but it's a work in progress. He's looking for contributors, so if you'd like to be involved, you can join Andrew's Facebook group, Spaceborne and Friends. consider myself to be an open-minded person, and I think it's good to have a healthy skepticism and to question and reevaluate your own values regularly. I like to ponder on the big questions, and the most obvious one is, what is the meaning of life? You might also ask, what is the purpose of life? And I think those two questions are slightly different. Clinical psychologist Jordan Peterson emphasizes the importance of not losing purpose. And in his book, 12 Rules for Life, he suggests a good place to start is to tidy your room. By that, he literally does mean tidy your room. But beyond that, he also means to get your house and affairs in order. Deal with the clutter and mess in your life, one step at a time. It can seem a daunting task, but once you take the first step, you will already start to feel a little bit better. As you start to see the results, you'll feel compelled to keep going. It's easy to fall into a slump and slip into depression or to get demotivated. I often find myself starting down that path. It's when you have some setbacks or the people around you don't seem to be supportive. You start to ask, why should I bother, and come to the conclusion that everything is pointless. Professor Brian Cox asks, why should there be a purpose or meaning to life? He takes a scientific view on things, and my understanding of what he believes is linked to Newton's famous third law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I like to think of the universe and its workings, or what physicists refer to as the Big Bang, like a line of dominoes. The first one fell, and that triggered a chain reaction, a chain of events that led to the creation of the stars and planets. And after unimaginable periods of time, we finally reached this point in time, where planet Earth orbits around the Sun, teeming with fascinating and diverse life. There has been explosive destruction and ugliness, but also astonishing beauty. Most people believe that there is a creator or God, an entity that has control over the universe that we inhabit, controlling what exists and what happens. An idea which is popular at the moment is that of the simulation. The story from the movie The Matrix was the best known example of this concept, the idea that we've been placed into an artificially designed or virtual world, but that we're not aware of being trapped inside what might be beyond a facade or who controls it. Elon Musk wonders if we may well be the bootloader for the creation of a simulation and or the creation of an artificial intelligence with far superior abilities to ours. Some have thought that the possibility that the distance Earth is from the Sun, allowing seemingly perfect conditions for our world to exist, suggests that this must have happened by design. Ethologist, evolutionary biologist and author Richard Dawkins has devoted a large portion of his life trying to convince people against there being a divine God. He answers the question, what is the meaning or purpose of life, in his book The Selfish Gene, by saying that it is for the proliferation of genes. In other words, there's no real meaning beyond our DNA trying to survive, reproduce and evolve indefinitely. I think these questions are partly a distraction. What's most important to you seems to be the right question we should be asking ourselves. As of yet, we haven't mastered immortality, so we consider that we have a short time to live. We should think about what we want to do, how we want to live, what we want to experience, and what legacy we'll leave for future generations. If you've reached the achievement of producing offspring, you'll devote some of your time and energy into supporting your child and helping them flourish into maturity. We'd hope that our children will live better lives than we have, as the idea that they would just live at the same level or worse than us seems negative. The long-term general trend is that people's standard of living is continually improving. We can look through history and see this clearly. So I think we've got some peace of mind that our children and grandchildren will likely be just fine. Of course, many people choose to not have any children or can't have them. There's other ways in which we can be immortalized or at least remembered. Most people are quite literally forgotten about. Unless you're someone that has had a major impact on society, or statistically, you're unlikely to be one of those, given our growing population of over 7 billion. Even if you're a highly motivated and driven person, you need to be humble and realise that you're a needle in a haystack. People are unbelievably powerful, and I wonder how much potential achievements are never realised by people that live their life almost on standby mode, behaving like we have all the time in the world. We try not to think about our mortality, we try to ignore it. I know that I'm guilty of laziness, we all are to some degree, and it's not helpful to beat ourselves up about it though. In dealing with the topic of regret, I've sort of accepted a concept that we shouldn't regret anything, because I believe we actually have no control over what we do. Just as the dominoes of the universe fall with inevitability and things react with other things, I believe that we are reactionary machines. If you imagine yourself as a machine, you are put into a particular situation, a particular environment, are exposed to certain experiences, developing pathways in your brain as it learns from those experiences, but also being confined by genetic design. So I've bought into the idea of fate, like the song Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I find that very comforting, and I think of our entire universe as a connected system. In fact, beyond that, in reality, that there's no you or I, we're all just part of the same thing, all made from the same basic elements, originating from materials that formed in space over millions and millions of years ago. This is the idea of Zen, or oneness, and it's not a new idea. Zen Buddhism originated in China during the Tang Dynasty. Whilst I'm sure I don't align exactly with that belief system, I certainly have some leanings in that direction. used to enjoy cycling, but I had a couple of incidents that I won't go into the details of now. But I came to the conclusion that it's very dangerous. Many years ago I was into running, but I'm getting older now and it's just not fun for me anymore. But what I do love is walking. I try to get out and do a 5-mile walk every day if the weather permits. I'm lucky in that the village I live in, Gresford, has a number of really nice country paths and walks. I find it's a great way to unwind after work if you're going to the office, to your house, and sitting in front of the computer all the time. You start to feel like you're trapped, start to have negative thoughts. So being around nature just makes me feel more at ease, and I think because that's our natural habitat, you get a chance to think and reflect, and you know, we're not meant to be cooped up indoors all the time.
Kids are all messed up, yeah.
define there being two types of people, content consumers and content creators. Most people falling into the first category. I've always had a creative streak, and from an early age I'd be drawing cars and spaceships. I never really got into arts and crafts or painting, but I did enjoy playing with Lego, working on my own creations or mocks. After 1983, I moved away from Lego building. Low-cost home computers were emerging, and I started to dabble with basic computer programming. My first computer was the Sinclair ZX81, and I later upgraded to the Spectrum Plus, followed by the Commodore Amiga 500. In 1989, I attended the Wrexham Information Technology Center, or ITEC, where I was introduced to IBM clone PCs and the Apple Mac SE. Then, in 1990, I started my first job at Variard & Partners Consulting Engineers in Burton, near Rosset. I started out by helping with photocopying, printing drawings and general admin work. They had a couple of 386 PCs, and I got a chance to use those and learned how to use AutoCAD. By the mid-90s, the cost of PCs had dropped dramatically, and Pentium processors running Windows quickly dominated the scene. At that time, most of the drawing boards were thrown out and replaced by PCs with AutoCAD. My role changed and I became better at fixing the computers. In 1994, I travelled abroad for the first time. My dad invited me to visit him in Calgary, Alberta, in Canada. In 96, I built my first PC and got onto the internet for the first time. And that was life-changing. I started making new friends from all over the world. And in 2004, I got married to a Russian girl, Irina. And a year after that, our son Martin was born. Around that time, Variard's, the place where I worked, got bought by Opus, the highways agency of New Zealand. After a while, I was supporting 12 offices in a team of 5 IT technicians. In 2009, I got back into Space Lego after being inspired by some creations made by someone called Peter Reed, who was the creator of the Exosuit Lego Ideas set 21109 and the co-author of the beautiful book Lego Space Building the Future. Peter was one of a group of people that took Lego building to the next level in terms of detail and sheer dedication. It's easy to dismiss Lego as a child's toy, but in this context, it was used more as a medium for creating art. In 2012, I created a magazine called The Magpie, which became the official magazine of the Raspberry Pi computer. I wrote some comic strip short stories, a non-fiction book about Space Lego, and created a Lego magazine called Celestial Orbit, but that one only survived for 2 months. In 2018, Opus were bought out by a larger company called WSP. They outsourced the IT department, and at the beginning of 2019, I was made redundant. I worked for 3 months for a small company called Obsidian Networks, but I wasn't comfortable there, so I quit that job and found a new one at Data Pacific, and that's where I've been working since, and I feel like I'm much happier than I was in my previous jobs. Tell me, are we better off drinking?
small glass to keep us from thinking about all those things that we shouldn't know.
Collecting all of the 84 Classic Space LEGO sets and started my own Facebook group called Strictly Classic Space. It's a community of LEGO builders that specifically use parts from the space sets that were produced between 1978 and 1987. I'm also a long-time member and moderator of LEGO Classic Space Facebook user group, created by my good friend in Italy, Damiano Baldini. One of my projects is to create a collection of 100 LEGO space models, 25 spaceships, 25 rovers and wheeled vehicles, 25 moon bases and landscapes, and 25 miscellaneous items such as exosuits, robots, cannons, sculptures, and other items, including furniture. Some of my spaceships are inspired by well-known ones from science fiction, such as the Millennium Falcon, TIE Fighters, X-Wings from Star Wars, the Eagle from Space 1999, and the Liberator and Scorpio from Blake 7. that just about wraps it up for this episode. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can support me through Patreon by visiting patreon.com/JaceMan125. So until next time, bye for now.